This is Power Lunch, exclusively on Lightning Power Play via the iHeartRadio app.
Yeah, I just think we need to come out a little better. They're a good team over there. You know, they stay in the structure pretty well. Can't get frustrated and just find a way to break it. I think for us, key points are closing quick in the D zone and make sure we're on offense. And the faster we close in defense, the faster we can get on offense. And we got to sustain some time in the offensive zone early on. And more often, and get second, third opportunities. So just need to have a great start here.
Yes, Pat Maroon, that would be a good idea as the Lightning try to even up the series today, game two at one apiece. Hopefully, that will be the outcome. Tampa Bay dropping game one. There's been a lot of talk about structure and being smarter, being mentally sharp. And we'll see if the last couple of days Tampa Bay is able to implement that strategy tonight against New York. I am Greg Linnelli along with Dave Mishkin. Steve Versnick is producing. Dave Randorf will join us coming up in about a half hour as we talk all things Lightning and this series. And let me bring in my partner, Dave Mishkin. Dave, when they said, you know, we need the Lightning to strike, I didn't realize it was going to hit my house. And I would not have any internet.
Well, it may have just struck Dave's house, too. So he just lost connection. So
we dropped Dave. See, this is the folks. This is called live radio. And this sometimes happens. But yes, if you haven't been affected by this recent thunderstorm, then good for you. But it was pretty funny. Just
Dave's
prepping a little bit here. And then boom, something hits the Lightning. And then next thing you know.
That may be a good sign for tonight. So, lightning is striking, thunder striking.
Boy, Dave, come on, Dave, what's your excuse for dropping? Come on,
I don't know. There's no lightning outside. You were hit by the collective. You, the Linnelli household, was affected by the storm, and our show started, and you were so spectacular in that open that my connection dropped. So
I thought it might have been very trapped.
It couldn't take your awesomeness.
I thought it was the Islanders maybe trying to knock me down a little bit here because they understand that they have to keep anybody affiliated with the Tampa Bay Lightning under wraps a little bit here. But I think
they
we're
do
all...
clog things up, don't they? They make it difficult to navigate through. We're just trying to navigate through the next.
Yeah, they were in position
minutes.
And I had to adjust. And that's something that the team's going to have to do tonight. And it's going to be a big focal point. You know, it is interesting, Dave. We talked a lot about it yesterday about the structure. And you brought up a good point that. You know, when you hear people talk about the Islanders' structure, it's basically guys in position. I mean, you can get into X's and O's if you want, but I mean, I think that's the gist of what the Islanders try and do, and that's good coaching for sure.
Right.
But now,
and it's hard to do in hockey. Like, might say, oh, well, they should just be in the right position. It's not like the shortstop standing in one spot, right? When a
correct.
Pitch is being delivered, hockey is a sport. Needless to say, that is in constant motion. And so where you need to be at a certain point is changing with every second.
So true.
So it's very hard to play that structure perfectly, which is why mistakes happen. But the Islanders tend to make very few structural mistakes, which is a credit to their system, buy-in from the players, and coaching.
Absolutely. And now, you know, which is why we talked about that. And that was probably my biggest takeaway from game one. And it's probably going to be one of my themes, at least for this series. They play that system as well as anybody, at least that we've seen. The question is, can they keep that high level of play within their structure in a seven-game series against an opponent like the Tampa Bay Lightning? I think that was probably the second part of the equation that wasn't explained enough yesterday. Is that we're not talking about the Bruins, we're not talking about the Pittsburgh Penguins, although those are pretty good teams for sure. The Tampa Bay Lightning are the defending Stanley Cup champs, and you don't get there unless you're able to adjust your game in a series whenever things don't go well the previous game. And I think we are anticipating, Dave, a better performance by the Lightning. That's not to say the Islanders won't keep their level of play up. I'm just curious to see... what is that change for the Lightning tonight? Is it going to be a little more patience? Is it going to be a little more toughness in the offensive zone, trying to take the eyes away from Varlamov and getting second and third chance opportunities? Is it simply just staying out of the penalty box? We can sit there and say maybe all three. Sometimes that doesn't happen in a game where you can't always get what you want. But I'm curious to see maybe what is the biggest adjustment this Lightning team is going to have tonight for the Islanders that's going to make this, I don't want to say a more competitive game, but certainly a game in which you'd like to see the Lightning apply a bit more pressure on the Islanders in the offensive zone.
Well, I guess there's the XO part of it, Greg, and we spent a lot of time on yesterday's show talking about that, at least in our opinion. And this was echoed by a lot of the quotes we heard from the players and John Cooper, that they didn't manage the puck well enough. So if you're turning pucks over, you're feeding the other team's attack, and you have a hard time going on offense yourself. So that is part of the equation. The Lightning need to manage the puck better, understanding they're playing a team that is trying to, if not force turnovers, lure you into turnovers. That was something interesting that came out from some of the player quotes as well, that like the Islanders play a system where you think a play is there, but it's actually not, and it leads to a deflected puck or a flat-out turnover, and it's coming back the other way. So puck management is part of it, and then getting inside on the Islanders is the other, meaning that players to the middle of the ice in the offensive zone available for potential tips, screens, rebounds, or just creating chaos, which is hard to do against the Islanders because they are very tough and committed to protecting the front of their own net. So that's the XO part of it. But then there's the more intangible part, because you asked the question, like, what do the Lightning need to do to be better? And we have talked about this. Like, I do believe that every game is a tug of war, where one team is trying to execute its game plan, but they're pulling on a rope against a team, their opposition, that is trying to do what it wants to do, right? Yeah. And on that rope tug in game one, the Islanders pretty decisively won the tug of war. The game went exactly how the Islanders wanted it to go. They were able to get into their structure. They disrupted plays. They got the lead. They, at least up until the latter part of the game, for sure, outshot and outchanced the Lightning. They played a really, really good game. Yep. And if they were to script it ahead of time, they'd be like, this is exactly how we want the game to go, maybe outside of the first 5 to 6 minutes. For where sure. They were a little bit under siege. And you know, I went back and I was listening to the show that we did yesterday, and I had made the comment, did the Lightning even have a rebound chance? There was one rebound chance, and it came early in the game on the shorthanded rush. That was it. But they got one. That was Killorn. After Ruda took a shot and Killorn got to the front of the net, but that was off the rush, and mm-hmm. It was a weird sequence because it was shorthanded. I mean, the Islanders were on their power play. They didn't necessarily have the guys out there that they would normally have on a rush chance defense situation. And Varlamov made that second save on Killorn. That was one of the early shots the Lightning had, but their second chance opportunities were basically nil after that. So you come out of that game and you're the Islanders, you're like, we did exactly what we wanted to do. We imposed our will on the opposition. And if you're the Lightning, you come out of the game and saying, we were not ourselves, right? Because they were not able to do what they wanted to do. So some of it is on the Lightning, some of it is on the Islanders. So we talked about the XO part of it. But then there's this other intangible part, like how do you impose your will on the other team? And that is what the Lightning have to try and do tonight. They have to make the Islanders feel more uncomfortable. And I think that does come down to more intangible elements, will, determination, maybe winning puck battles, execution for sure, which is not an intangible, that's very tangible. Sure. But you know, if you're making plays up the ice and doing it quickly, you know, you're going to put yourself in a position where you can make the team that you're playing feel uncomfortable. So I guess that, you know, we should add that to this equation, not only tonight in game two, but as something we're going to view throughout the series. And we've seen it in the earlier series too. Like the Lightning did not want to get into a run and gun game with Carolina, but I think we would say that the Lightning's priority in that series was to make sure Carolina's forecheck was at least kept in check, best you can. Mm-hmm. And outside of one segment in the second period of Game 4, the Lightning did that. The Lightning were able to impose their will,
yep,
saying, we want to stop this forecheck from taking over the game, versus what Carolina wanted to do, which was, as they have done throughout the year, our forecheck is going to take over the game, right? Sure. And with one notable exception in Game 4, when they scored almost half of their total goals in the series, the Hurricanes were not able to do that. So some of that is XO, like draw it up on the dry erase board, if you will, or go over it through video. But some of it is just outplaying the other guy, the other team. The guy you're going up against. You need to outplay that player.
Yeah, you're right. And
that's not like super duper advanced analysis, right? But ultimately, a lot of times, that's what it comes down to. You're going up against your opponent. Who's going to get the upper hand?
I did tell you, and Ryan McDonough mentioned this yesterday, and if people want to react, they can at Bolts Radio. Dave Randorf coming up in about 15 minutes. Was, you know, making the smart play, and you heard, you know, maybe just dumping the puck in a bit and going after it, get the forecheck going a bit more. That's easier said than done, but I think that that is one thing that we can noticeably see tonight, if that is an adjustment. The Lightning get the puck, let's say it's center ice, rather than bring it in with speed, although that could be a scenario, maybe they're just dumping it in and they say, guys, let's just go outwork the Islanders. The other thing too is I told you in the first round when they took on Pittsburgh, one of the things Pittsburgh did pretty well is they had their forwards pretty much together in a, I don't want to say a triangle, but the support was very good. It was tight. And that allowed them to get through the neutral zone and back off the Islanders a bit and get them out of that structure, which enabled them to tilt the ice in many ways. Now, they got great goaltending in that series. Pittsburgh did not. That is something to watch for a little bit tonight. That's more X's and O's. But one thing you did hear about the Lightning in terms of how to adjust a little bit is maybe just kind of keep it simple. There were some turnovers there, and the Islanders kind of lull you into thinking somebody's open and maybe they're not, or you get it to that guy and they're really not in a better position than you initially thought. And so that's, again, their structure. But maybe this simple play is to rim it down and let's go to work and let's grind it out. And the Lightning have shown, Dave, they can certainly play that game if they have to. I've been giving this a lot of thought too, and that can be dangerous when I'm thinking about something. And I give it a lot of thought. Sometimes I have to sit down and
proceed.
And lay down.
I want to hear your thought.
Yeah, yeah. So the question was brought up. I forget who asked it. It might have been Eric about the defenseman getting involved, scoring. And we touched.
Yeah.
On
now
this
all of a sudden that is. By the way, has that taken off? Like all I'm seeing now is zero goals from defense. Zero goals from defense. Enough already.
But I think enough already. I think what we talked about yesterday, and it has, by the way, everybody's talking about it, but I think what we talked about yesterday made the most sense. But I was thinking about it. I do think if, like, that wasn't an issue. Scoring wasn't a concern in the first two rounds. I think you and I would agree with that. I think we both felt Florida and Carolina were really good teams, but they weren't going to stifle you defensively, whether that was the goaltending or whether that's the way they played. You felt like if the Lightning got to their game, Dave, they were going to get some chances. And they did for the most part. Yeah, there might have been a game or two where they didn't get as many. But for the most part, you probably felt pretty confident. Look, if Florida scores three, there's a good chance Tampa Bay is scoring three or four. I mean, that's how I looked at those two teams. I never looked at them as a suffocating type of defensive team and that you were going to get chances. So you didn't need your defensemen to contribute in the goal department. The Islanders are a different team. I think I, at least me mentally going into this series, and I think most people did, but I don't want to speak for everybody else, I felt like goals were going to be hard to come by. I didn't think we were going to see too many 5-4, 4-3 games. I thought we were going to see a lot of 3-2, 2-1, and obviously there can be the exceptions to the rule, and that's a credit to the way the Islanders play and their system and their structure. But going into this series, if you believe that scoring is going to dry up a little bit, and that's mainly going to come down on the forwards, meaning guys like Kucherov, Points, Stamkos, pick your guy on offense when it comes to the forward position for the Tampa Bay Lightning, that their numbers were probably going to take a little bit of a hit compared to what the previous two rounds were. that you were going to have to find some offense from somewhere else. And so that leaves the defenseman to maybe chip in a bit more than the previous two rounds when it comes to goals. Now, that can come in a variety of ways. It can just come from Victor Hedman ripping it from the point, and Tampa Bay gets a deflection. That's on the guys in front to get a tip. But they have the guys to do it. But I think in this series against the Islanders, Dave, when you do know scoring, especially from your forwards, is going to take a little bit of a hit, I think it is a fair point to sit there and say, okay, the Lightning have Sergachev, they've got Hedman, they've got a couple of other guys, Chernak, who've got some hard shots, who can get it through. It's probably incumbent upon them to at least get to that part of the equation, get the shot through, and let's see what happens. But I don't think it's unreasonable. You know, we talk often about how great Victor Hedman is as a defenseman, obviously offensively, and the same with Mikhail Sergachev. I don't think we're asking anything out of the ordinary when we say, you know what? A couple of guys might be able to fill the net on the back end. Those two guys are more than capable. I'd like to see in this series. And if you don't believe me in terms of how important scoring is from your back end, it's only one game, but look at what happened last night between Vegas and Montreal.
Yeah.
Guys, throw the puck on net, even if it's Carey Price. See if you can do it. And I think that is something to keep an eye on, particularly, Dave, and my point is this. If the scoring is going to be low scoring and your forwards aren't having the numbers that we saw in the previous two rounds, and I think that's fair to say, you're going to need to try and find some offense from somewhere else. And I'm just saying, I think the Lightning do have the capability to make that happen. Obviously, we'll see if it happens tonight and the rest of the series. But I do think it's something to it's worth watching, because the Islanders are not the same as Carolina and Florida, and I think we have to take that into consideration as well.
So I'm going to differ with you on at least part of how you're looking at this. I guess I'm looking at it differently. Where I'm not differing with you at all is that the Islanders are a really good defensive team, and it may be difficult for the Lightning to score goals in the series, and we may have a lot of low-scoring games, as we saw in the Eastern Conference Final last year after Game 1. A lot of those games were fairly low-scoring. The Islanders won Game 3, 5-3 with an empty netter, but a lot of the games were 2-1, right? Games 2, 5, and 6 were all 2-1, and the last two went into overtime. One of them went into double overtime. So I am on board with that. I guess the way I look at it, Greg, is You are making your statement with an assumption baked in that the Lightning are not going to get enough offensive production from their forwards. And I just don't know if that is going to be the case. So where I will agree with you is, if at the end of the series, the Lightning have lost the series and offensive production was a big reason why they lost and they still got zero goals from their defense, then I would say yes, the Lightning needed more goals from their defense based on the opponent and based on the fact that they didn't get enough from their forwards. But I'm not willing to say, as we enter into Game 2 today, that they aren't going to get enough from their forwards. They may. And they may not need a goal from their defense. They didn't need it in the first two rounds, and I understand two different opponents. So what can they get from their defense? And I think, hearing these Zoom press conferences, Dan Rosen, who is, I believe he's joining us tomorrow, isn't he?
He is joining us after I call him.
He's been on with us before. I really need to give him his props for his line of questioning, because he wasn't so much harping on the zero goals from defense, but he was talking about how the defense can help stir the pot for goal generation. He's talking about like having a shooting mentality or getting the defense the puck in a position where they can shoot, so even if they don't score, it's leading to a scramble in front. I think that's a fair point. So can the Lightning lean on their defense moving forward in the series or put the onus on their defense to direct pucks to the net. Yes, they can. That should be part of their offensive attack. But it comes as a unit of five. So if the puck is actually put into the net by a forward after the play was started by a defenseman getting open and taking a shot and getting a puck to a dangerous area, I don't think the Lightning care about that as long as the puck goes in the net. So I'm looking at the Lightning stats as we speak today. Victor Hedman has 29 shots. He is tied with Cirelli for third most on the team, behind Kucherov and Point. Now, I don't have a breakdown of power play shots versus five-on-five shots, but I don't think that we can say that Victor Hedman is not shooting the puck enough. I mean, he's got 29 shots. He's among the league or the team leaders on the Lightning. And then Chernak's got 21 shots. He's second most. So the two of their defensemen have had over 20 shots to this point in the series. Now, that comes out to an average of a little over two a game for Hedman, a little under two a game for Chernak. Now, you want to say that they need more than that? Okay, fair enough. But you mentioned Vegas. So Vegas leads the playoffs as far as goals by defense. And they had three goals from their defensemen last night. And if you watch the goals, the Theodore goal is a shot through a screen that has eyes, but it's well placed. It's kind of like the Hamilton goal in game four that Carolina scored, where it's a long-range shot, but there's a heavy screen, and it goes into the top of the net. That shot might hit the crossbar like Sergachev did in overtime against the Panthers in game three. Maybe it gets blocked along the way. I think the Lightning have had some shots like that. But if you're firing enough pucks from the blue line, yeah, there's a chance it could go in. Or maybe, it like Dan was saying, maybe it leads to something good happening for somebody in front. But the other two goals scored by the defense, Martinez scored the second goal and Nick Holden scored the fourth goal. The defense is jumping up or stepping up. I shouldn't say jumping up because it's off possession in the offensive zone. But they're moving to an area at the circle where they are open for a pass and the net is open for them. On the one, the five Montreal players got caught on one side of the ice and Theodore sells a shot and passes it to Martinez and he has an open net. And on the fourth goal, Carey Price lost the puck. It's a cross ice pass and Price, instead of going from his left to his right, stops halfway and looks back to his left. It's almost like he thought the pass didn't get through, mm-hmm. but it did get through. And Holden has an open net, but sure. He's at the dot. So, look, can the Lightning activate their defense? And by activate their defense, I'm not just talking about joining the rush. Can they jump into holes when the Lightning have possession in the offensive zone and maybe get a chance like Savard did in the second period
sure.
on a couple of plays? Yes. So I'm in total agreement on all of that. But I guess I'm not willing at this point to draw a line in the sand and say, if the Lightning are going to score enough goals in the series to beat the Islanders, a really good defensive team, they need goals from their defense. I guess I'm not willing to cross that bridge at this point. I'm saying they need goals, right? And there are things the defense can do
sure.
to help them generate chances. And maybe that's where we're in agreement on what can they do.
I think you bring up a good point. I think, you know what it is too? It's unusual to see Victor Hedman not have a goal. I think it's unusual to see Mikhail Sergachev. These are highly skilled players, and I understand what you're saying. That doesn't necessarily translate into the Tampa Bay Lightning winning games if they're scoring goals, but that is, I think we would agree. I mean, that's part of what makes Victor Hedman great.
Yeah.
His ability to fill the net from the back end. That's a weapon. And Dave, I think also too, it's the law of averages. You mentioned the amount of shots he's had. I'd like to think at some point those are going to start going in. I mean, I know we're talking about the back end. But again, we're talking about two elite defensemen. And I'm singling out Sergachev and Hedman because they're the ones that I think can be dynamic. But
right.
throw
and
Sergachev, into
that
equation.
Sergachev has 17 shots in 12 games. That's a number that could probably come up.
Yes. So I think the opportunity is there. The Islanders make it difficult, and I think getting a bit more help from the back end, and it might just be getting shots through too, because how many times do these pucks get tipped? midway through is, you know, Victor Hedman's got to rip it from the point, and then you get a tip. Like we were talking about the other day, how many tips have the Lightning had these playoffs? And a lot of that, too, is on the forwards getting to the front of the net, and that was something they didn't do enough of, and I'm hoping that's going to be different tonight. But I would like to see whether it's jumping in on the play or whether it's just the defenseman being a bit more involved without vacating his responsibilities defensively, because as we know, the Islanders are a really good counterattacking team too. You make a mistake, they'll go the other way, and they have enough finishers on that team, they'll hurt you. So I understand there's a line there that they have to pay attention to, being aggressive but also being smart. It's kind of what they talked about after game one. But let's put it this way, Dave. I'll be shocked if the Lightning win this series and the defensemen don't have any goals. And you may disagree and say, well, I don't know if that's a direct correlation, if they're going to win the series or not, but the back end's going to have to generate some offense. I do think in general, the offense for the Lightning, it's just, and I hope I'm wrong, and I'll be the first one to say it, I just don't know if there's going to be as many great scoring chances in this series because of the opponent than we saw in the previous two. And because of that, I think getting the back end involved a bit more offensively, whether that's goals or getting their shot through, is going to be a bit more important against the Islanders than it was against Carolina and Florida. And I could be completely wrong. And if I am, I'll come on the show and we'll talk about it. But hopefully I'm not. And hopefully the back end can help out. And hopefully the forwards can get to the front of the net, because it's something that they talked about too. At Bolts Radio, if you want to get involved in the conversation.
And just so you know, I was just adding it up, Greg. So Lightning defensemen have accounted for 23 assists so far in the playoffs. No goals, obviously, but 23 assists and 23 points. And you think about some of those assists, like the Braden Point goal that he scored against Carolina in the first period of Game 4. That play was started by Chernak. So remember, Chernak held the puck into the blue line. Svechnikov had mishandled it, essentially. If Chernak is just thinking, I have to score here, and he just tries to bomb away, Svechnikov is in the way. So he has to read the play. He makes the right play. He passes it to Palat, which created numbers down low. So that's the right play at that time. It was not a goal by a defenseman, but a defenseman definitely had a role in the goal being scored. Similar on the Braden Point breakaway goal in Game 1 against Florida, Ryan McDonough. Ryan McDonough made that play. He blocked the shot and gave Point a perfect pass. So, again, like they have contributed. I just think that good on Eric for noticing it and asking the question. I'm like, goodness. Like, how many stories are now coming out about the Lightning don't have any goals from defense? And I look, if they are not helping the offense at all, that would be one thing. I don't think that's the case, though. But if it means that to beat the Islanders, to your point, with a tip of the cap to your premise, if that means that the Lightning defense have to have a shooting mentality when they have a chance to get a puck to the net and the lane has not yet been closed, fire it and fire it quickly, then I think that is a wise suggestion. That is probably prudent to do based on the opponent that they are facing in this round.
We will talk about it a bit more with our good friend Dave Randorf, and we'll break it down with him about this series and if he believes in that premise. Also, too, hit us up on Twitter at Bolts Radio. He is Dave Michigan. I am Greg Linnelli. Steve Versnick producing, back after this on Lightning Power Play.
This is Power Lunch, exclusively on Lightning Power Play on the iHeartRadio app.
Working through it here on a Tuesday, Game 2 tonight at Amalie Arena. Puck drops at 8 o'clock. We'll have all the pregame festivities beginning at 7 o'clock with Brian Burns and Kaylee Chelios and Bobby the Chief Taylor. I'll be on at 7:30. And then Dave Michigan and the Hall of Famer, Phil Esposito, back in the saddle, efforting to get Dave Randorf here, working through some issues. Dave, as we said, the Lightning struck my house.
Yeah, you're really mucking up the works here today, Greg, aren't you?
Dave Randorf sounded like Darth Vader when we tried to get him on, so you know, we'll hopefully get it on. But if not, you know,
is there like an evil Islander wizard, like rubbing his hands together?
Is this Matt Martin? Is Matt Martin?
Is there a voodoo doll version of the Lightning Radio logo that somebody is sticking pins into?
You know what? But we're gonna power through, kind of like how the Lightning have to in Game Two. We've got to fight the elements off, get to the front of the net, and by gosh, hopefully get a win, and hopefully that's good.
By the way, I have not seen confirmation of this, but Oliver Wahlstrom, who got hurt in the first round series against the Penguins and has been out ever since, I think he's cleared to play. That was the part I saw, but what is unclear at this point is whether he will actually come back in. And I guess he would replace Zajac, but are you going to mess with a winning lineup if you're Barry Trotz?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Barry Trotz proved to be a little unpredictable with the goaltenders these playoffs, because both goaltenders have won series.
Yeah, and both goalies have had 4-game winning streaks.
Yeah, too. So that's incredible. And
third time in NHL playoff history that's happened.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's kind of shocked me a little bit with how he's handled the goaltenders and who he has started at certain points in these playoffs. It's clearly worked for him and his team. But I don't know. We actually had a question. Bob wanted to know, before we get to Dave Randorf, if he thinks the Lightning will go 11-7 or stay 12-6.
Well, when we had Brian Engblom on before the series, he really felt that Luke Shen would make an appearance in the series.
Yeah.
I don't know if that means the Lightning would go with 11-7 or Shen would just come in and replace another defenseman, or maybe the Lightning will go with the same lineup. The way they ran the lines at the skate this morning, reportedly, it was the same lineup that they used in Game 1, but we'll see.
I think if they drop tonight, I think you could see some lineup changes, and probably just specifically Luke Shen back in the lineup, especially on the road.
Yeah.
I could see something like that happening. But let's bring in Dave Randorf.
For the same reasons we felt, that Savard might be well suited, this would be a series that would suit his strengths. The same is true for Luke Shen.
I would agree with that.
Sorry.
I would agree with that. And it makes a lot of sense. Let's bring in our good friend Dave Randorf here on Power Lunch on Lightning Power Play. And Dave, great to be with you. Glad we got you on, working through some technical issues. As you know, that's part of the biz sometimes. But Game 1, I don't know if it should have surprised anybody, at least watching the Islanders and what they wanted to accomplish. The Lightning didn't get to their game as much as they would have liked, but I think you have to give credit to New York. The question I think for me too to start the series, Dave, is can the Islanders play that type of game for 3 more wins? Because it was pretty flawless, to be honest.
Hello, boys. First of all, thanks for having me on as always. I was running around here, so I didn't get my daily diets right off the stroke of noon here to see what you guys have been going on about. But let's get into it. Can they? I think they can. I think that is who this team is. I think if we're just going to start talking about the Islanders and what they have in front of them, you know, I love the quote from Casey Cizikas before this series started. He said that our game's where we needed to be. They are going to have to beat us. We are not going to beat ourselves. We're going to play straight line hockey. We're going to play as hard as we can. And I was sitting there listening to him going, okay, he sold me. I mean, this team is locked and loaded. They don't have stars. Matt Barzal is the closest thing they have to a star. They've got good players and some skill, but they've got a bunch of guys who are now playing a role, who are now slotted as they all need to be. Cizikas, of course, was not a big part of the series last year. Pelech was hurt. Everybody's in there and in their lanes and motivated. And I truly believe that Barry Trotz went to school on that playoff series, the tape of the playoff series a year ago, for months after he was knocked out. He said it was one of the most painful playoff defeats that he has experienced. He's an excellent coach, as is John Cooper. I think the binder has been sitting on his desk for months for this series. I think he knew he would have to go through Tampa Bay again, and I think he's had these guys ready for this series for a long time, and I think that game one was an indication of that. I thought they played a perfect road game. I thought they weathered an early storm. Tampa Bay actually had a decent start. They were out shooting the Islanders 7-1, and their penalty kill took away some early opportunities, and in fact, they outchanced the Islanders on the New York power plays early on, but it started to turn right after that. You know, the shots were heavily now in favor of the Islanders as the Lightning just couldn't get anything going cleanly. They couldn't get out of their own zone cleanly. They were passing up shots and didn't have that shot first mentality that they had started the game with. And you know, obviously we know the rest of the tale. But one other thing too that I think is kind of just an intangible here. But I also feel that this group is motivated. By all accounts, they're going to have the legends back in the barn for games 3 and 4, the old Islanders legends. And I think this group is motivated to, you know, they talked about unfinished business. I think that's pasted all over their dressing room to win one more in that rink before they knock it down where the legends, you know, were born for this franchise. I really think that would be, they would consider that a very special moment. Extra special moment, and they realize they've got the team to do it right now, and they're going to make the Lightning beat them, and that's what they did in game one. And can they continue it? In my mind, they can. Does that mean they're going to win? No. I think the Lightning are still a good team, but they have to get back to their game, which they never really got to in game one.
I'm just wondering, Dave, in the last two rounds, the Carolina series and this one, you have not been calling the game. I'm just wondering, like, in terms of how you kind of absorb a game or see a game or digest a game, are there things that you are picking up because you're not calling play-by-play and vice versa? Are there things maybe that you do notice because you're doing play-by-play that you may be missing as a spectator?
Yeah, no, there's no doubt. Yeah, I'm jealous of you. You get to keep on going, but I knew that was part of the deal when I signed up here, and it's fine. But I think you would even know this, Dave, and a lot of guys would say the same thing. When you're calling the game, you watch it differently. You're on the puck. You stay with the puck, and unless you have a trained eye and even with experience of years calling the game, you can sometimes you can catch things behind the play or catch little pieces of a play, and sometimes you can't. Because you're focused on where the play is and where the puck is, and the game moves so damn fast, you know, it's easy to miss things. Whereas if I'm just watching the game, which I was the other day, sitting beside my broadcast partner, Brian Engblom, you know, we can watch it. I can see the whole ice. You can see the bench, and you know, you can easily move away from where the puck is just to just notice other things and other trends and matchups a little bit more easily than when you are calling a game. Plus, you know, I don't want to bore the listeners here, but there's lots of other things that I have to worry about when I'm doing the game on TV, like sponsorship reads and getting this graphic in and throwing the commercial and just timing issues and a producer talking in your ear. So it's an entirely different exercise. Having said that, would love to still be sitting beside you in a booth calling it, but, you know, I'll take the second best thing is to do what I'm doing tonight, being in the barn, taking in the atmosphere and watching the game and hoping for a win.
Dave Randorf joins us here on Power Lunch on Lightning Power Play. Dave, what adjustments, without getting too into the weeds and the X's and O's, do you realistically think the Lightning can make to be better in game two and come out with a win?
Okay, I'll stay right away from the X's and O's, and I'll just talk about a real simple thing that I saw a quote from Cooper. I haven't looked at the Zoom call yet. I'm going to when I'm finished with you guys, but I saw his money quote, and was that he felt that some of them didn't have to take a shower after the game. You know, John's got a gift for making those types of quotes that draw headlines and get traction and coverage on social media and on television and things like that, but it's kind of a startling statement. I don't think their desperation level matched the Islanders. I do agree with that. I didn't necessarily agree with the head coach when he said that, you know, it was just about us not making good decisions and, and, and we didn't, our heads weren't in the game. I get what he's saying, and certainly, you know, a couple of egregious turnovers did hurt them, but I also just feel that the Islanders had a lot to do with that. I think frustration set in for the Tampa Bay Lightning, the fact they couldn't get a power play, first of all, which is their bread. Let's call it spade a spade. That is their bread and butter. 5-on-5 scoring, guys. Have you checked out the numbers here? The Islanders have 32 5-on-5 goals. The Lightning have 19, and they played one fewer game than the Islanders, and that's not even close. So that's okay. Your power play is allowed to be part of the thing, but if you're not getting power plays, then that's a problem. So, you know, obviously to avoid the frustration, get some confidence with the flow of their game. I think when the Lightning don't feel like the thing is flowing their way, they get a little frustrated. They force pucks, and that feeds right into the Islanders' hands. That's exactly what they want to do, and that they're going to keep leaning on you and frustrating you all night long and bugging you. And so they need to get to their game first and score first. Another interesting stat is we know that the Lightning have been very good this year when scoring first. 0-3 when they don't score first. The only other team remaining in the playoffs with a record like that is Montreal. Everybody else has been able to weather the storm and get wins. Vegas has done it. The Islanders have done it. The Lightning have not. And neither have the Canadians. But the Canadians have led so much as well, too. So, you know, there's partly a reason for that. But score first. Get the crowd into it. Get feeling good about your game and remind yourselves that, hey, wait a second. We're the champs, and we have some confidence and probably a top to bottom, a better team on paper. So they didn't get their confidence and they got frustrated. And so that's, if you want just a simple non X and O thing, that's what I would say tonight.
Well, I'm going to give you a little bit more of an XO question, Dave, because part
I knew you would, Dave.
Well, you opened the door, so I'm going to let you walk through it with your answer. So part of the equation of scoring more 5-on-5 goals would be to get traffic in front of the opposing goalie. And the Islanders make it very difficult to do that. The Lightning did not get many second chance opportunities in game one. Many of the shots that Varlamov saw, he had no screens to deal with. What can the Lightning do to penetrate that slot area, and as they say, get inside on the Islanders against a team that is committed to not letting you do that, because that's part of how the Islanders defend?
I don't think there's anything too fancy about that. It's just battling your way through to the what they call, you know, the dirty areas. It's difficult to do at this time of year, certainly the semifinal stage. I mean, what's the one line you would think that is equipped to do that? It's the Gord line, right? The Gord line, that's probably the line out of all four of them that are really going to be able to do that and create shot first, a shot scramble mentality, maybe getting something launched from the point, getting in there, getting a rebound and a tip and getting some momentum and getting some good vibes going. That line has struggled, boys. I mean, Yanni Gord has not scored since the Florida series. Same thing with Goodrow's got the one goal since he came back in, and same with Blake Coleman. He has not been able to get any goals since, I think, in the first two games, I believe he had one of his goals. Actually, I'm looking it up right now. Yeah. Game one. He has not scored a goal since game one of round one. So that's a problem, you know, when you are looking for goals, up and down, and, you know, there's no secret sauce to it. I think that's been said before too. Get to the net. You know, your fight for position, it's like being in the paint in the NBA. Just get there, and who knows, maybe you even draw a penalty by going there. And that could help them, obviously, as well as their power play can go to work. So, you know, launch some more shots, quit passing up shots and trying to make the extra pass, because I think even, was it Ryan McDonough the other day, said it's enticing. Sometimes you think something is there and you go for it, and you're almost baited into doing that, and you end up not only turning it over, but not getting a shot, which is what we're talking about here. So come out here and launch some shots at Varlamov. I thought he was pretty good the other night. You know, he didn't, I thought he made a couple of key stops, to tell you the truth, when he had to. He didn't make the five bell saves that, you know, we see regularly from Vasilevsky, but, you know, I thought he was all right, but let's test him a little bit more and see what he's really got under some more intense pressure, because the Lightning have been outshot a lot in these playoffs, and it's time that they started to turn the tide and get some more pucks to the net any way you can. It is difficult, Dave. I get it, but you just got to get in there and get your nose in the get your work boots on and get to the dirty areas.
Dave Randorf joins us here on Power Lunch on Lightning Power Play. You know, it's interesting, Dave, the mindset from everybody after game one. And I'm not talking about the players, but media and fans alike. Do you get the sense that a lot of people, I don't want to, are assuming that the Islanders are going to almost win this series? And even after one game, I feel like there's been a lot of talk about the Islanders and how great they are. And that may be the case. I'm certainly a victim of that. But we're not talking enough about the defending Stanley Cup champs and their ability to adjust. And this series is far from over. And you got the sense, listening to John Cooper, too, that, you know, it's almost like, guys, wait a minute. Yeah, the Islanders are a good team. But we also won the Stanley Cup last year. Oh, by the way, we beat them. The Islanders may very well win this series. I don't know. I feel like, though, Dave, after one game, there's been a lot of praise coming into the Islanders camp, and some of that is warranted, but I almost feel like we're dismissing a little bit that, I don't know, the Lightning are going to be able to make any adjustments against this really good defensive team. Do you feel like that's getting lost a little bit in this conversation regarding this series?
Well, it depends on where you're talking about where this conversation is coming. You're talking about a New York area team that, right, has a lot of national, you know, voices, and you know, you and I and Dave see more and more, you know, national writers and broadcasters showing up in the Zoom calls, and so maybe that's what you're perceiving. It certainly isn't with me. I mean, we started our conversation here today, but you asking me about the Islanders, and I gave you some good reasons about why I think they're definitely a worthy and quality opponent here, and are going to be a difficult opponent, but by no means am I underestimating the heart of this champion. I also feel that the Lightning know that this is their time to do something extremely special, which is repeat. They know this team is going to be different when the puck drops next season. And they know that there's, I'm sure, a lot of the leaders and the older guys in that room have basically expressed that sentiment to some of the younger guys. Like, you don't know if you'll ever be here again. So make sure you do everything you possibly can. Block every shot. Get your stick in those lanes. All that stuff that we've seen in their best moments in these playoffs, particularly in the two closeout games, game six against Florida, game five against Carolina. Those are moments, you know, they made adjustments in both of those series. And I do feel that they can. And I do think we'll see a more urgent Lightning team tonight. And yeah, they are the champs, and they've got the best goalie, bar none, still playing. I still say that. You know, even with Fleury doing his thing, I thought Fleury was excellent to start last night's game, and Carey Price is playing at a different level. But for my money, still, Vasilevsky is the best goalie in the world. So you've always got that. And then you've got more depth than most teams do, and experience, the know-how of what it really takes to get it done at this time of year. And I do think that this is a team that, as we know, have not lost two in a row in the playoffs since 2019, since the sweep. They did not lose two in a row at home during the entire regular season. So I do feel that they will be able to, you know, push back a little bit more, have a better start, get the crowd into it a little bit more. And I'm certainly not underestimating, you know, what this team can do and what this team still has to do in this series. And you know what? One thing that does surprise me a little bit, though, boys, is their 3-3 record at home. 3-3. It just seems like kind of blah to me. And if you look at the other records of the team still going, Vegas 6-2, Islanders 4-2, you know, Montreal's only 3-2, but they've, you know, they've finished teams off on the road. They've never really, they haven't had as many home games. And of course they've been playing in that empty rink, but 3-3 to me sounds a little, that's one stat I'd like to see improve with the Lightning here going forward. That's for sure. Starting tonight.
Last one for me, Dave. One thing we were talking about before we brought you on was David Savard. And not only is he healthy now, he's also in a series that seems to be well-suited to his sort of game, tough, rugged, physical, against a tough, rugged, physical opponent. He had a very good game one for the Lightning. Are you expecting to see the best that we have yet seen from Savard in the series?
I think a lot of people noticed that was probably one of his best games as a member of the Lightning, you know, considering the circumstances and the stage that we are at right now. What do you have? Three shots on net. That's more than he's had, I think, almost his entire total shots on goal in the playoffs to date. And a couple of them dangerous. You know, Varlamov, I can remember, made a good save and a good hard slap shot that he got. I believe he got it with his blocker. And so he was engaged. He was active, and he was comfortable. You're right. I think that's a great assessment. This is his type of game, getting down in the muck and getting, you know, physical in front of the net, stopping plays down low. And they're gonna need that. I mean, that's what this team. That's how they keep you away from their end, by grinding you in your end. And they need guys who can put a stop to that. And Savard is that type of player. And of course he helps Sergachev too in that regard, because he doesn't leave all the heavy lifting to the young Sergachev, who has certainly shown moments here in these playoffs. You know, game 5 against Carolina may have been his best, one of his best performances for sure, in a closeout game and a situation. I think he has not reached that level where he can consistently bring that impact to a game yet. And that's not an overall heavy criticism against Sergachev, because he's still young and he's still getting there, and he can play on my team anytime. But Savard helps him, you know, with the heavy lifting in a heavy series like this. And when you were talking about the D, I thought you were going to talk about the topic that everybody's going on about no goals from the defense. You guys gotten into that yet?
we addressed that. I'm a little over.
You did? Okay.
I like the first question, but by the time I saw like the 8th article about it, I'm like, all right, enough already. Because it's not like the defense haven't contributed. They have. They have 23 assists.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And what, 11 from Hedman. They have. But you're now talking about a team that we already talked about how they're struggling 5-on-5. They've been held at 2 goals or less in 5 of their last 6 games here in the playoffs. The one anomaly being the 6-goal barn burner that we all saw in game 4 against Carolina. So there were 6 goals there. Other than that, 2 or less in 5 of the last 6. Their power play, if they don't get out there, you know, that's a problem. We talked about the third line not scoring. So while I agree with you, Dave, you're starting to think, okay, we need some goals here from wherever. And there's a goal by a defenseman seems to be a bigger type of momentum changer. Would you agree?
I think it can be. I guess I like to see the defense as part of the unit of 5, and the defense have been involved in some of the offensive plays that the Lightning have made that have led to goals in this playoff run. But as Greg and I talked about, if the series ends and the Lightning have struggled to score goals and they're on the losing side and they have 0 goals from their defense, then I would wholeheartedly agree and say, yeah, they needed more from their defense. But if the defense are involved and they happen to keep getting assists as forwards end up scoring goals that are plays that are started by the defense, I'm okay with that. I think the Lightning would be as well.
Yeah, for sure. If they're getting no assists, and there's been some key assists during this playoff run, but I'm definitely, so I was looking it up. So I actually dug into the numbers because we noticed this trend. We noted this trend around here a while ago, and now it's getting louder because we're into the semifinals. But so they had 17 goals in the playoffs last year, right? 10 from Hedman, which is a crazy number. That's the third most in Stanley Cup playoff history. So, but 3 of them were game winners, you know, so you can't discount that. Of the teams remaining, you got Montreal's only got 1, but it is a series clinching win by Erik Gustafsson against Winnipeg. Vegas has got 9 already, and including a series winning goal by Petrangelo and a game winning goal last night by Alec Martinez, a beauty on the power play, I think it was. And the Islanders themselves, they've got 6, 4 from one guy in Ryan Pulock, but 3 of them game winners. 3 of their 9 wins have come from that moment. And so, you know, you can't discount the fact that those are important goals. And at some point, you know, if you look at Stanley Cup champions over the years, go back every year, there's going to be some notable goals scored by big time defensemen for sure. You know, most notably last year with Hedman, Conn Smythe, and 10 goals, but you're going to need him at some point. And it is kind of an anomaly that they have not gotten one to this point at this stage of the playoffs for sure. It would certainly help when you add in all the other factors looking for goals. It would certainly
help
at this point.
Well, and I'll speak to Vegas. I think a lot of the Vegas goals from defense, the defense have stepped to the circle to the net. 2 of their 3 goals from defense last night were at the circle. where they moved the puck around and that guy happened to be the guy who was open to shoot it in. And that Pietrangelo goal you
Martinez.
Mentioned,
that
I mean, he was at the side of the
night.
Net, right? Yeah, like he's way down low. So maybe there is an element of the Lightning need to activate their defense more when they have the puck in the offensive zone, but they don't want to do that at the expense of giving up a chance coming back the other way, sir.
Well, think about it too, Dave. The numbers you recited with Pollock, also understand too, Barzal had been relatively, I don't want to held in check in these playoffs, but you know they're not an offensive juggernaut team by any stretch, so they need goals from a variety of guys, but especially the guys you're relying on to score. If they're not, my point was, I think this series is going to be relatively low scoring compared to the previous two. Like, I never worried that the Lightning weren't going to be able to generate offense against Florida and Carolina. Some people may disagree with that. I always felt comfortable, even if it was a low scoring game, in the games the Lightning lost, they were going to generate enough scoring chances where I'd be comfortable if they did lose, understanding I think they did a pretty good job of pressuring in the offensive zone. I just made the point, I think the Islanders are a different team for the reasons we talked about. I don't think the scoring is going to be as high, or you're not going to get as many chances. Now, Dave made the point, that could change the remaining games. Who knows? And Kucherov and Point, they may explode, and they are the type of players that can do it. I'm just simply saying, I'm playing the odds a little bit. It's probably not going to be as high scoring, or there aren't going to be as many quality scoring chances. And because of that, you've got a couple of elite defensemen back there who can certainly help out in that department, whether that's just getting a shot through or whether it's scoring a goal, which is, let's face it, we praise Victor Hedman a lot, and a lot of that is because of the offensive numbers he puts up, that I don't think it's unreasonable to expect them to find a way to contribute a bit more offensively. I think we all would agree game one wasn't that performance, and we're hoping for a better performance overall from everybody in game two, particularly from the back end, trying to get some shots through or even score a goal from here on out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, we're getting into the minutiae here, and I still think it's important, but I think the number one thing which we addressed is a little urgency, more urgency, more desperation, and get feeling good about their game early tonight, because I never really thought they could maintain. They got to it really, and certainly weren't able to maintain any of the Tampa Bay Lightning style hockey in game one.
Play with the lead. And, play with the lead too.
Let's tell like it is. You do not want to go to that barn in Long Island down 0-2.
Correct. No doubt about that. Well, Dave, great job as always, bud. We appreciate the analysis. We'll be watching you and have you on our airwaves here talking about this series, and let's hope it goes beyond this. But we appreciate your time, bud. Thank you.
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you. I know you got the post-game show on Lightning Radio, of course, and tune into that, but also check us out on Bally Sports tonight after the game. I got myself and Dave Anderchuk, and we'll break it down for you there as well.
Beautiful. We'll be watching. Thank you, buddy.
See you, bud.
All right, that is Dave Randorf, and bring back my partner, Dave Mission. He did not sound like Darth Vader right there.
No, he did.
We got that cleared up.
Steve worked his magic. He was pretty I almost felt after his first answer, I was like, did the Lightning even have a chance in this series? Thinking about Barry Trotz with his enormous binder of like his plot to defeat the Lightning in the next year.
But can you just picture Barry Trotz right? in his office with his huge binder looking at these equations and looking at ways to beat the Lightning? I would pay to see that. But
he did refer to that loss to the Lightning last year as extremely painful. I think I said it was gut wrenching, which is might not have been an exact quote, but that was what I took from the comment
I
read.
For sure. Look, we said it. I mean, there's something to be said for the willpower of a team who lost to the Stanley Cup champs last year and then facing them again this year. I mean, that's just human nature. And that'll be a tough thing to deal with in this series, which would make, if the Lightning advance, even more incredible, because the team is really good. They're playing against the Islanders, and you factor in the emotional side of it too, which is pretty incredible.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're gonna talk about it here tomorrow, noon to one. But we'll have all the coverage leading up to Game Two, starting at 7. You and Phil have the game call at 8, and we'll see if Phil Esposito is the lucky charm, Dave.
Yeah.
Get him back in there.
I know.
See what's
Well, he wasn't there for game one of the Carolina series. That worked out okay for the Lightning.
That's true.
But
That's true.
I'm glad he'll be back in his usual chair tonight.
We'll ask him about the net front presence and getting to the net. I think he'll have a few words about the Lightning and getting some goals there. But that'll be fun. And then, of course, we'll talk about it tomorrow from noon to 1. Thank you, Dave. Appreciate it.
All right. See you tonight, Greg.
All right. Thanks to Dave Randorf as well. Thanks to Steve Ersnick, who really got an A-plus effort today getting us on the air and making all of this work because of the power outages. And hopefully it was fun for you guys to listen to. And we'll be with you again tomorrow, noon to 1. I am Greg Linnelli. Game 2 tonight. You can listen to it all right here on Lightning Power Play.